The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
We are in the Slieve Donard Hotel here in County Down in the foothills of the Mourne Mountains. I don't know if the weather is like this every time you come here, but if it is, it's well worth a visit. And we were up doing a bit of a tour of the area yesterday. Went up to Castlewellan Forest Park, stunning forest park, lake, very kind of Glendalough style, nestled in the hills, and they do these mountain bike, e-bike, which is great because it makes you feel like Lance Armstrong, but you don't have to put in any effort. So they do these e-bike tours around the trails up into the woodland around the forest park. Absolutely stunning part of the world. And then the Slieve Donard itself, heaving with people. There was a wedding on here last night, so they are absolutely full to the gills. But a gorgeous spot here, just on the coast, right beside Royal County Down, which is why there are so many photos and themes of golfers festooning around the place. I found myself showering this morning under the watchful gaze of a pencil drawing of Rory McIlroy, which was slightly unsettling, but I thought about covering him with a towel, but he seemed above it all. On the topic of Rory McIlroy, my next guest is a man who says that if he had gotten a penny for every time his clips of Rory McIlroy back when he was a wee boy, if he got a penny for every time those clips get replayed on YouTube, he would be a very wealthy man. He is, of course, one of Northern Ireland's favourite broadcasters, the man responsible for the Kelly Show for, I think, a total of 16 years, if I have that right, Gerry Kelly. Gerry, good morning.
Good morning, Anton.
Gerry, you are very kind to give us your time this morning. I have to say, I was thinking of you yesterday because on the drive up, I stopped to refuel both me and the car and found myself surrounded by people in these blue tracksuits. I'm thinking, what is going on?
Yeah.
And then I realized that is Special Olympics athletes and coaches heading in your direction. You're in Craigavon, yeah, getting ready for Special Olympics duties.
We're all here. This is the Ireland Winter Games, and there are over 200 athletes from all over Northern Ireland who have descended on Craigavon, because we have an artificial ski slope here. So at this moment in time, as I'm talking to you, they're actually, the competition has started and they're going down the hill. So it's a fabulous morning. But I've been involved with Special Olympics since 2003. I sit on the College of Patrons, and that's my involvement today. So last night was the opening ceremony that I emcee that, and it was literally like the World Olympics. They come in team by team, all the regions in Ireland come in team by team. They take the oath of the Special Olympics athletes. And it was just a happy, joyous, joyous night. We had our First Minister and Deputy First Minister along, and they spoke. So it was very important. So it shows you the importance of Special Olympics in our mind when our First Minister and Deputy First Minister arrived at it to welcome the athletes. So it's a wonderful, wonderful day, and a wonderful day for Special Olympics.
And are you getting the weather for it?
It's cold, but the sun is shining, would you believe? So it's fairly like the real McCoy without the snow, if you know what I mean. It's a dry slope, but it's the sun shining, but very, very cold.
Because everybody in Newcastle and County Down is telling me that this is the type of weather, sun splitting the rocks, is the norm here, that's what you get every single day. I'm somewhat sceptical.
No, they're absolutely right. You should come here more often, Anton. I live in Ardglass. I live about 20 miles away from where you are now. And it's a little microclimate there. And the sun's always shining there, to tell you the truth.
Remind me,
what, the Mourne Mountains, you say.
What is it that I stop in Ardglass for? Is it mussels? What's the line?
It's Van Morrison's. It's herrings and...
Is it pickled herring in case I get famished before tea? Is that what it is?
The very one. That's called Coney Island. And I live actually on Coney Island. So... my van has never, ever done that journey because if you look at the words, you cannot do the journey that he says you can do in the words of the song. It's impossible.
Well, I tell you what, Gerry, I can't tell you how delighted I am to hear you say that, because I have actually opened, this is how boring I am, I've opened a map and listened to the song and I thought, I'm missing something in this route. So the route is impossible.
It's possible, but not just the way he says it. And he doesn't even pronounce Shrigley properly. So go back to that one.
Well, on this topic, you've had the, I'm going to use the word pleasure until I hear differently, of interviewing Van Morrison. What was that like?
Oh, that's a long story, Anton, a long story. He's a very, very difficult man. Difficult man to interview. I would prefer just to listen to his music than to talk to him. I don't say too much because we've crossed swords on various occasions throughout my 30 years broadcasting, and least dead, better mended, I think is the phrase. It's just, he's a very difficult man, an absolute musical genius, but socially he's awkward. He doesn't do small talk. He doesn't like being interviewed. We had one show where we did a special with George Best, and Van was one of the guests on the show that night. And I remember thinking, just as an aside, I was sitting talking to George Best on the settee, and over my shoulder in the music situation, there was Van Morrison. And I was thinking, there am I between two geniuses, you know, two top of their sport at Best, one of the greatest footballers in the world, Van Morrison, one of the greatest songwriters of the world. Two of them were born within probably 400 or 500 yards of each other from East Belfast. And there they were. So I felt very privileged that night. But as for local chit-chat with Van, no, I'll just listen to his music in future.
Well, I'll tell you what I'll do, Jerry. When I'm going to be finished up in about 15 minutes, I'll jump in the car and head up to Craigavon. And when you get a window, you can take 20 minutes and walk me through the stories off air. Is that fair?
Come you up and I'll tell you everything.
Well, I was looking at the list of people over the time that you have dealt with, and it is, like, it's quite the list. You have Tom Jones, there's Dolly Parton, there's, as you say, George Best, there's Garth Brooks, with whom you have a personal relationship that we might return to. But in amongst all of that, I discovered you shipped yourself out to Manhattan, I think it was Manhattan, to do the DeLorean interview.
That's right. I'd almost forgotten about that. We got a special with John DeLorean. And we went out. This was after all the furore had been over. He had left Belfast. He was still out there. He had been the subject of the court case, of that entrapment. Do you remember that very famous one where he was supposed to be doing the drugs in the hotel? And we went out and talked to him. He is now, if Van is awkward to talk to, DeLorean was most affable, like you would be impressed in his company. So I sat with him for an hour and a bit. It was a very complicated story, to tell you the truth, about where the money went and how it went and what he did with the money. But he sat and talked for an hour and a half with me. I think we added it down to an hour eventually. But, he was a fascinating character, a sort of Jekyll and Hyde type person. And he believed right up to the very end that he did nothing wrong, that he was absolutely right. And I suppose for many years he did well in Belfast. He gave a lot of employment to a lot of people at a time when, you know, unemployment was rife in Northern Ireland, and especially in the area that he set up his factory. But I think he went to his grave believing that he did nothing wrong. But a fascinating character, I have to say.
You talk about the time at which, because at the time there wasn't a lot in the way of large employment when DeLorean brought the car manufacturing to Northern Ireland. The changes in the six counties, from even if you go back to the point at which your show would have started in the mid-90s, it feels like a radically different place.
Oh my goodness. We started in 89, actually, was our starting point, and we were still right in the troubles. The troubles were still all around us. Which meant for the Kelly Show, it was very difficult to get guests to come to Belfast. You know, they weren't going to fly in here in the midst of boats and mayhem. So it was a difficult first 3 or 4 years to get guests here. But if you compare that to today, there's no comparison. And I would advise anybody or encourage anybody to come to Belfast. It is now a wonderful, wonderful city, up there on par with anywhere else now in Ireland and the UK. Totally transformed. The atmosphere is much more relaxed. People are much more relaxed, and we're just getting on with life. And now that we've got the Stormont up and running again, as I said, the First Minister and Second and Deputy First Minister were there last night. The optics so far are good between the two of them. They're still talking to each other and smiling. I'm sure there'll be bumps along the road as they progress, but there'll only be bumps. And if they can overcome the bumps, then I think Northern Ireland is in for a big future. I hope they're in for a big future.
Yeah, I think we all have skin in that game and would hope that you turn out to be right. Tell us then about Garth Brooks and Rory McIlroy.
I did the Kelly Show for 16, 17 years, and I did some great interviews with some great people. But I'm obviously going to be remembered for talking to a 9-year-old, Robbie McElroy, who was chipping balls into his mother's washing machine.
Essentially, he is the emu to your Rod Hull, is that it?
That's exactly right. Rory McIlroy is my Rod Hull. We heard that young Rory had won the World Under 9 or Under 10 championships in America. So we thought, it's worth a 5-minute interview. So we spoke to his mother, and we sort of said to his mum, look, what does he do in the middle of winter when, you know, he's out of school, it's dark, he can't go golfing, what does he practice? She says, well, actually, he chips balls down the hall, and I open the kitchen door, and I open the door of the washing machine, and he chips in. And we thought, oh, that's such a very nice idea. So we recreated that in the studio, and we got a washing machine in, and he chipped the balls in. It was no more than just, a very capable 9-year-old who could play golf. But look what's happened. Look at what happened to him. And you know something? He's never thanked me. I started his career, and not once did he send me a letter to say thanks, Jerry.
He is he is today, thanks to you, Jerry.
That's what I keep telling people. He wouldn't be the golfer he was without me. it's remarkable how on YouTube how that has gone worldwide. If they're showing if McIlroy's doing well at all in any of the tournaments, that will come up him chipping the balls into the washing machine.
The other one then that I have to ask you about that you have total credit for, that you claim credit for it anyway, is bringing Garth Brooks to Belfast. It was solely thanks to you that he came here.
Absolutely right, Anton. I claim credit for everything.
You're a humble Jerry.
Of course I am. Yes, in a way, because I had interviewed him when he came to Dublin first, and I did it down the line with him to the Gresham Hotel, I think he was saying. And I sort of said to him, right, the next time you come, Garth, you'll have to make sure you're coming to Belfast. I'm not sure if he knew Belfast existed or not. And he says, yes, I will. So a couple of years later, there was a press call at Croke Park, and I was at the press call. And someone says to him, I see you're including Belfast this year, Garth, in your tour. And he says, yes. And he says, why? And Garth says, because I promised Jerry Kelly. So I'm sitting there going, did he just say that, really? So yes, I brought Garth Brooks to Belfast.
We've talked about
he's a real gentleman. I have to say, the night we had him in the studio, we did a special with him. We did an hour and a half with him in the studio in Belfast. He came up and brought his entourage with him and his band with him and did the whole hour and a half with us. And as we left the studio that night, it was about 11:30, quarter to 12 at night, as we left UTV, there was a crowd that gathered outside because we were live, so people knew that Garth Brooks was on. So there must have been at least 200 or 300, and it was a cold, cold night in November. And as he was leaving to get into his bus, because he was staying in Dublin, to go back to Dublin, he signed autographs or took selfies and posed for photographs for everybody there before he left. And he didn't leave Belfast until about 3 a.m, having signed every autograph, which impressed the life out of me, I have to say.
Well, this will go down well, because his stock was somewhat tarnished with the whole Willy or Won't He Croke Park a while ago. So anything that allows us to fall back in love with him is a good thing, Jerry. Well, come here, the one that I want to ask you about before I let you go. We've talked about the Jerry, the Kelly Show back in the day. You have a new series where you're doing interviews, predominantly with people from Northern Ireland. So you've Brian Kennedy, you have Phil Coulter. One of the recent ones is Eamon Holmes. I have to ask you, when you were doing it, did you think to yourself, oh, this is good? Because you get some great stuff out of him.
I know Eamon very well. Eamon and I would be friends. We started out working together in UTV a million years ago. So he was down at my home last summer. And I hadn't seen him for quite a while, talking to him on the phone. But I was amazed at how poorly his health had deteriorated. And he was on crutches at that stage. And I remember him sitting down on the settee in the living room. And we had to lift him to get him up. When he came back again, we recorded these shows just before Christmas. He was worse. He was in a wheelchair. And I just felt, my God, Eamon, you really have deteriorated. I spoke to him, and we do speak quite often together. And I think he sort of overdid the criticism of Philip Schofield and so on. But he said to me, look, I'm not doing it overdoing it. It's the fact that if I say something, every newspaper in the country will bring it up. And it looks as if I'm continually talking about him. I've only spoken about him once, and that's all I've ever said. All the other stories are little satellites of the original story. But he's in a bad way at the moment, I have to say, and I think the illness is depressing him tremendously. You know, he can't dress himself. He has to get a dresser in to dress himself. He's up at 3 o'clock in the morning to get into GB News. So a carer has to come in and dress him at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. And that's the type of life. When he came to Belfast, he was staying in the hotel. He had to get a carer to put him to bed. He had to get a carer to get him up. You know, he's only 64, 65 years old. And it's a sort of sad way to see him. Hopefully he's getting better. He's trying very hard to get his health back. But at the moment, he's not in a great way.
Well, it makes for a fascinating interview. And if you want to see it, I know that it's been uploaded. There's the totality of it is up on YouTube. So if you just search Jerry Kelly Eamon Holmes, you'll get the interview. Jerry, would that we had another 15 minutes. Would that we had another hour, because there is there is an awful lot that we haven't got to. But as I say, I'll leap in the car and head for Craigavon, distract you from the Special Olympics, and you can give me the background to all those van stories that you can't tell on air.
Anton, thanks for inviting me on this morning. It's a pleasure, actually, to talk to you.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.